Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Licensed to Parent podcast. I'm George Siegel. Our guest today is one of the most interesting interviews that we had in the documentary film Licensed to Parent. He's a professor of law at St. Mary's University in San Antonio, Texas. Michael Arians. Professor, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, in the film, you made some interesting points. One of the things I asked you was if the Constitution would even allow us to license parents. Now, why is this something that we can't do? I know it's a far-fetched thing to even suggest, but you said we couldn't do it if we wanted to.
The Supreme Court has decided in a number of cases that Americans have a fundamental right to be parents. And fundamental rights are rights that can be interfered with only upon a really, really, really strong showing by the government. And in my view, I think a notion that one is not allowed to be a parent unless one has a license to parent would interfere with that fundamental right.
It would probably create a whole different set of problems that we haven't even thought of, wouldn't it?
Often that's the case. We write a law and we realize later that there are lots of problems that we didn't think about.
Okay, fortunately, that's not the true suggestion or solution that we had for solving the parenting problem in the film. It was more just as a provocative title, but something interesting in regards to how parents are treated when they do their job poorly, they're allowed to fail several times before something's done about it. And so it seems like everything is balanced towards them and allowing them to learn on the job, so to speak, and make a lot of mistakes.
I agree with you. And that is a very contentious issue in law. How many mistakes are parents allowed to make, and what kind of mistakes are parents allowed to make and continue to parent? It is no secret that in the United States, the ravages of drugs and mental illnesses have created all sorts of problems for the children of those persons who suffer either from a mental illness or who have some kind of addiction to drugs. And that's a real issue. There really is a very strong preference in favor of allowing parents to err and to keep their children.
Yeah, and it's such a fine balance, too, because at what point, I mean, it's so traumatic when a child is taken from the home, but it seems like a lot of times you go, wow, that should have happened a long time ago.
Well, not only is it traumatic to take a child from a home, but if you think about it in a slightly different way, if a child is taken from an unfit parent at a very young age, and then because our legal system is often so slow, spend several years with foster parents, including foster parents who may be interested in adopting, to have that child return to someone they no longer know is also incredibly traumatic.
Yeah. Is there anything in the Constitution that protects children and their rights? Does it work in reverse? Is there anything that's on their side?
Yes, although the Supreme Court in its cases has not done much with regard to it. There are bits and pieces here and there with regard to the rights of children vis-a-vis the rights of parents. But there's nothing with regard to constitutional law that says that somehow a court is going to be able generally to say, well, we know the parent has some constitutional rights, we know the child has some, we, the court, are going to take on the job of deciding where the line is. The default provision, as we've discussed before, is that parents get to make those decisions, and they do get to make mistakes. And the extent of those mistakes is what really is the issue, I think, in today's society.
Yeah, after we interviewed you, we actually interviewed a gentleman who was trying to get a children's bill of rights, which he was just running into. He was going nowhere. It was getting nowhere. It was very difficult because politicians didn't want to touch it.
Right. Yeah, there are several law professors who, over a number of years, have tried to push greater notions of children's rights as an either antidote or response to what they believe to be the extreme notion of parental rights. But that success has gone nowhere, as you suggest. And of course, you can understand why that is the case. there is a much greater sense among politicians that we should trust the adult, even if the adult is not wholly trustworthy. People who are making the laws are adults. They usually or often are parents, so they have their own experiences that they rely on, and in that sense, you know, it's the classic slang saying of who's going to be the adult in the room. And the idea is that there are adults and there are children, and they are different, and adults generally should be the ones who make the rules, and children should be the ones who obey the rules.
Yeah, plus those politicians are all pandering to the people who voted for them, and it's not the children, right? So
that's also true. There is a vested interest in the part of the legislature to represent most effectively those who are able to vote, and children are not able to vote, and parents are much more likely to be voting in making sure that those representatives don't do things that are going to interfere with their right to parent.
Yeah, it would be very refreshing if we had politicians that actually say, well, what's good for everybody, not just good for the 40% or 50% that voted for me. But that's a whole other subject that I won't get into with you. So now,
probably a good idea.
Yeah, probably. In Utah recently, they amended an existing law with a free-range parenting law, which I don't know if you saw that in the news or not. It seems like another way of protecting parents, but it isn't necessarily something that you could say that I think is good for children. What do you think?
Well, I'm of a generation where my parents basically said, go out and play and come back when we tell you it's time for dinner. And so we ranged about widely. I tend to think that the reason for these laws, these so-called free-range laws, is that there is a fear by some that helicopter parenting is actually harmful to the children. That is, this notion of helicopter parenting, which can then infect law enforcement, suggests that if you allow your child under the age of 12 or under the age of 14 or even 16 in some instances, it seems, that you are, by definition, a neglectful parent. And just as there are issues with regard to the rights of parents, so too, I think, one thing we want to make sure of is that we don't have the state acting in a way that doesn't allow children to become the kinds of independent adults we want them to. I mean, I know that I see as a professor a big change in the manner in which parents act with regard to their children, even in law school. And I'm not sure that that is helpful to those children, that is, those adult children who are trying to make their way in the world.
See, but what I see in this thing is it's great for protecting the parent who wants to give their kid that freedom, but it's now all the people that will take advantage of that and slip in underneath it and use it as an excuse to maybe not even pay attention or know where their children are. So it's like we don't have speeding laws in effect to protect to stop the drivers who don't speed. You know, it's the bad ones I'm worried about. It's the parent that says, yeah, just go hang out in the park. I got to go to work and I'll be back later. I mean, it just doesn't seem like a good thing.
Well, to me, I actually don't have a really firm opinion on that. My children are grown, fortunately.
Yeah.
And however I did it, they're so far doing quite well. I haven't had to worry about any one of the three. So
I know, and I'm the same way. My parents would send us out for the whole day, and we would just go out and play. But it's a different world now, and you know, maybe I'm just turning into a wimp as I get older. I don't know.
Well, maybe we all do.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Now, when it comes to protection under the Constitution, are children afforded the same protection as adults? I think we kind of touched on this. So if the Constitution is not protecting them, there's not going to be amendments to the Constitution. Is it we have what we have, and it's just how it's interpreted? Could there ever be rights in there that do more to protect children?
It seems unlikely to me at this time. You're right that there's not going to be a constitutional amendment. It requires not just a majority vote of both houses of Congress, but it requires three-quarters of the states to agree on that. And I suppose you've seen how hard it is. There was 20 years ago, oh, no, 25 years ago, there was massive outrage at the Supreme Court's decision with regard to flag burning. And people in Congress immediately suggested that they were going to push a constitutional amendment to the states and make sure that this flag burning never occurred again. Well, despite their best efforts, that's not happened. And that was a pretty hot button issue. I think you really need, sadly, I think in order to get people's attention, you need an issue that strikes emotionally and strikes rather strongly. So while, God forbid, there be any kind of terrible event involving children that might lead people to something like that, I really believe it's incredibly difficult to change things as a matter of amending the Constitution. You're right that the court can change the meaning of the Constitution by its interpretation, and that would be more likely than a constitutional amendment. But even there, the court so rarely takes cases involving children that I don't see that occurring. I could be wrong, but it just doesn't seem like it's going to reach the kind of fever pitch that one would need to see before the court would get involved.
Yeah, and you know, and you talk about Congress and you know the Senate, they can't even take proactive action with these horrific school shootings, and you know you can't get a consensus on anything what's good for anybody. So I don't know that we're going to get anything more extreme than that, and it doesn't seem like anything's happening.
It seems unlikely to happen. Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
Now, since we can't license parents, we talked about this in our interview, would a parent pledge be something that might help parents be more aware of the responsibility they're taking on, even if it had no legal standing, just an acknowledgement to get parents to understand how important a job they're taking on?
In that sense, I love the idea of pledges. I think pledges are a great way of reminding people that in the United States, although we talk a lot about rights, just as importantly, we should impress upon people the duties that they have. And I certainly hope that the vast majority of Americans would agree that we have no greater duty if we'd become a parent than to parent well. And so I think that's at least an idea that should be bandied about and maybe considered by some legislation. And again, you're right, it doesn't have to be something that actually has any enforcement value. It's the notion that you're reminding folks of what an important thing they are now doing.
Yeah, so ultimately this might be it probably is an education and awareness thing to get improvements than it will be actually enacting significant legislation.
Yeah, and I think too often in our society we tend to think, oh, well, let's just solve this problem by passing a law. And sadly, because human beings are both difficult to predict in terms of their actions and will do an amazing variety of things, some of which we would hope no person would ever do, even with a law, you can't stop the action sometimes. On the other hand, creating some kind of cultural change can often have a much greater impact than a legal change does.
Well, let's certainly hope so. Thank you so much, Professor Arians, for joining us today and for being a part of the film. You were fantastic in the film, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you, George.
All right, this is the Licensed to Parent podcast. You can learn more about us and what our nonprofit Move the World Films is doing, and our website is movetheworldfilms.org. Hopefully, in the next month or so, we'll tell you how you'll be able to watch the film and where you'll be able to see it, and that, of course, is our documentary film, Licensed to Parent. I'm George Siegel. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.